Getting there on time just isn't good enough. Traffic and weather on the 10s with Wills and Snyder in the morning on WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Radio.
So if you're making a pothole claim against the city or another car hits you, you finally have some evidence. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Wills Ways to Save. You can see the video, the report, WTAM.com, keyword save. Good stuff. Here's Matt.
It's small in size, tiny in price, but it can have a substantial impact on your car insurance. Great to be with you. Some of you may remember, I profiled this dash cam during the holidays right after I got sideswiped by a driver. It sold out. It became the ultimate stocking stuffer, and now at the exact same price. I want to put this deal back on your radar. With full HD video and the ability to capture whatever footage it is you need to hold another driver accountable with movement and even the ability to detect someone sideswiping your car.
Hit here, and also affected my rim. I will thank him or her for not knocking off the driver's side mirror, which is amazing. But if I had a dash cam at the time of this incident, I would have caught him or her in the act, and this $6,000 damage and $1,000 deductible would not be affecting me the same way.
This is what can keep you in the clear. This can also capture all of those other bad moves on the road on camera to keep your car insurance low or even lower it on its own. This item, which is not a paid product, is on our website. Your biggest bargains in Northeast Ohio. Back to you.
Mike Snyder Sports, mornings 15 and 45 past. Good unis last night, too. They had on
the Well, the Lamb, they finally got a win with them. The last two games they wore them, not so good. I was wondering if to keep them, and I saw them wearing them again, Bill, but they can wear them again now.
That they can. Okay. All right.
Bill, these have been difficult days, we all know, for the Cavaliers, but last night, LeBron James reminded everybody, especially the Minnesota Timberwolves, that he is LeBron James. In the final 2 minutes of overtime, he drained a long three that tied the game. Then he had a driving layup that tied it again. Then a block shot that kept the Cavs even with 1 second to play. And then there was this.
As bringing throws it ahead to LeBron, makes the catch, he spins, he fires! Oh, he nailed it! LeBron James from the foul line! A turnaround jumper to win it in dramatic fashion off the long Jeff Green inbound pass. As LeBron has won it for the Cavaliers. Cavs 140, Timberwolves 138. What a night for LeBron James.
And what a needed win for the Cavaliers. 140 to 138 the final. LeBron is ninth triple-double of the season. 37 points, 15 assists, 10 rebounds on the winning play.
And I was able to get a good rip screen and just try to sit down. You know, not allow Jimmy to get around me. And once I caught it, just trust it. I trusted everything I've done in my career, and that's just the work ethic I put into it, and I was able to knock it down.
So the Cavaliers get a nice win over a good team, but they still allowed 138 points, 129 in regulation. But there were some good things in the game. They just never caved in, even when they hit a bad stretch. And Chetty Osman, the rookie from Turkey, he gave them some great minutes off the bench. Cavs hit 21 threes. The Timberwolves hit 19. It was that kind of night at the Q. Cavs are now idle till Friday night when they will meet Atlanta. What will the roster look like by then? Trade deadline is today at 3. Will the Cavs make a move? College basketball. Boy, the Ohio State Buckeyes are putting together quite a season.
Buckeyes trailing 63-62. 16 seconds to play. Inbound Tate, center circle. Walks into the right side of the floor. 12 seconds left. Tate high on the right. Ohio State comes top of the key. Tate against Mathias. 8 seconds left. Tate down the left side of the lane. Tate to the hoop, low on the left. Layup no good. Tip no good. It's tipped in right to the rim by Kata Bates-Diop with 18 to play.
And Ohio State gets the win 64-63. That was the third-ranked Purdue Boilermakers who they beat. And the Buckeyes now share the lead in the Big Ten. Things went well for the football Buckeyes. A very, very promising recruiting class for Urban Meyer. We'll hear from him on that at 5:45. It's considered no less than number two in the land. That's what one rating service has it as. Georgia 1 with the Buckeyes 2. But certainly they have the best class in the Big Ten. And coming up, as the clock winds down on today's NBA trade deadline, Isaiah Thomas says he wants to stay here despite his rocky start. We'll have that story at 5:45. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100.
Our American contingent in South Korea, seasoned veterans, past champions, familiar names with Sean White, Lindsey Vonn, Americans trying to tie or top their 2014 medal haul. of 28 overall medals in the Winter Games. And, of course, there's always some politics involved, and especially when you've got the games in South Korea. Vice President Pence traveling over there. Bill Zimfer joins me this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Bill, good morning. Opening ceremony tonight, but so much in the background, of course, right?
Oh, boy, Bill, you talk about just a few politics going on here from a couple of different angles. Vice President Pence concluded some meetings with South Korean President Moon Jae-in just a short time ago, held back on any criticism of South Korea's more conciliatory approach toward North Korea. He has had some tough talk going into this one, and also on another branch of this whole thing, Bill, he took a page out of President Trump's book a little bit, a little tweeting this morning, and Vice President Pence issued a fake news alert, saying that the reports that U.S. figure skater Adam Rippon refused to meet with him are untrue. Adam Rippon, an openly gay figure skater who reportedly didn't want to meet with Vice President Pence because of his views on the gay community. Pence says that is untrue and called it fake news and says, let's pull for the U.S. team. Now, while he's pulling for the U.S. team, he says he is also there to remind the rest of the world that North Korea is the most tyrannical and oppressive regime on the planet, and he's going to be accompanied by Fred Warmbier, the father of Otto Warmbier, who went into a coma while in North Korean custody. That makes a statement in itself.
A lot of background when it comes to the Olympics as they open tonight and the politics. Bill Zimfer, good stuff. Thanks, Bill.
You're welcome, Bill.
On travel, heading out today, could be a snowy flight, and maybe you're going to miss a connection. Oh, my goodness, what to do. Rick Cini, founder, CEO of FairCompare.com, joins me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. Rick, good morning. Look, weather is a part of travel. You got to be aware all the time, right?
Absolutely. About one in five of us, almost on a good day, are going to have some form of a delay. And on a bad day, there's lots of cancellations that go on. And the best thing for as a consumer of air travel is to have the best quality information as quick as possible so you can adapt to different particular issues. That means signing up for flight status alerts, downloading the airline's app, for example. They have status alerts. There's other sites like Flight Stats and FlightAware. Looking at the weather map the night before and seeing if there's going to be any issues around the country. And if you want to be more proactive in buying your tickets, generally the first flights out in the morning have more of a chance of leaving on time than those later in the day because you have a trickle-down effect when larger airports have issues.
So many connections as well nowadays, you really have to be aware. At the end of the day, I mean, I don't want to get lost in the high weeds, as they say, but I bought a ticket, so in a way it's a contract. You got to get me there eventually, but it's still up to me to know how I'm getting there.
Exactly, and the other thing I would know for those people that do get a message that says your flight's delayed by 2 or 3 hours, that's for informational purposes only. They can actually undelay your flight. So if you decide not to head out to the airport and miss your flight, you're on the hook for that ticket.
That's a great point. I was on a flight last year, and the connection, I got the text alert that my flight that was going to be my connection was going to be delayed by like an hour. So I guess I felt better sitting there waiting to take off because I knew the connection was running late, just to have that peace of mind.
No, it's really good to have information. It's sort of like, you know, it's much better to be in a traffic jam knowing that there's a wreck, you know, half a mile up that you're going to pass at some point and not knowing if you're going to be sitting there for 3 or 4 hours. So good quality information helps your mental stability. Plus, if you do have to make changes, getting that information quickly, trying to find a human at the airport, much harder to do nowadays since they don't have as many humans, that's the easiest way to get a ticket change. Many times they're going to send you a new itinerary that may be the next day. I've even seen people get their flight changed automatically to 2 days later. Then you absolutely have to call and get a human. You can go outside of security to find a human. You can go to another terminal, for example. But finding that human while you're probably on hold waiting for an airline representative is the best way to sort of get that done quickly.
Hey, before I want to get you out of here on pricing, Rick Cini at FairCompare.com with me this morning on News Radio WTAM 1100. As you do pricing, though, talk to me about the airline business. I think I've seen stories recently. We've had some record numbers out of Hopkins again. It looks like overall, no matter how much we complain, the air business is good business right now.
In general, the air business is good business. There is a little bit of headwind right now with fuel costs. It was great last year. Fuel was in the mid-$45 a barrel, now up into the 60s. That's a bit of a potential issue. We've had good competition and a strong dollar to Europe. That's helped prices as well. We've also seen, you know, on competitive routes out of Cleveland where we've had a few airlines coming in on certain routes, those prices have dropped. Usually you see that for the first 6 or 8 months while they're trying to introduce people to that flight. So generally it's just good business right now. There's only four airlines control 80% of traffic in the United States, so there's not a lot of competition. So what's keeping the price down right now is consumers' wallets.
So it may not be the airline, but where I'm flying, whether it's Akron Canton or Hopkins, and how many connections am I willing to make on getting out of here then, huh?
Exactly. Okay. The airlines do everything route by route. So when you're looking at Cleveland in an aggregate, it's much harder to tell, but certain routes are going to be way cheaper than other routes depending on competition.
Rick Seney, he is at faircompare.com. Great site to use when it comes to pricing air travel. Good info as always. Rick, thanks, pal.
Thanks, Bill.
We talked to him when the book was out, Change of Seasons, and I was so impressed and really appreciate the time John Oates has given us this morning on WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. John, a year ago, Cleveland, we talked about the book. Since then, you've been everywhere, including the stage of the Grand Ole Opry. Congratulations.
Yeah, this whole journey that I've been on ever since I moved to Nashville about 7 or 8 years ago has really been one of the best things that ever happened to me in my life, especially musically. I've just been embraced by this Americana community of amazing musicians, people like Sam Bush and people like that. And it's really invigorated me and given me a chance to get back to the place where I was as a kid before I met Daryl Hall and before, you know, we did what we did over the past 45 years. So,
John, when I was a kid, I would listen to the music of Roy Acuff through the radio. That's how early in radio I started listening as a kid to things out of Nashville with the Grand Ole Opry. My sense is, as I listen to Arkansas, I'm hearing a vintage sound technically, emotionally. I'm hearing that everything through the speaker, John.
Thank you. I appreciate that. If it's communicating that way through the speaker to you, that's what making records is all about. Making records is not just the music you put on the record. It's the spirit and the joy that went into making that music. And I think on this record, that comes across. And I think that's why people have seemed to embrace it. Playing the Grand Ole Opry and being introduced by Vince Gill and playing with Marty Stewart for the first time in his great band there, that was to me just as important as, you know, playing Madison Square Garden or doing We Are the World or any of the other things that I've had the good fortune of being involved with over my long career. So it was kind of an endorsement that, hey, man, you know, you belong, and that's important to me.
Look, I don't want to overstate this. You've had tremendous commercial success, but as I listen to track after track on Arkansas, I can see the respect from other artists that they've been giving you because the emotion, you go back to the sound of the 20s and 30s where, you know, I mentioned Acuff, but I mean, some of the roots of rock, the roots of folk and country, that you really get into that, John.
Well, as I started making the record, at first it was just a tribute to Mississippi John Hurt. He had his early recording career in the late 1920s on OK Records. But then what I realized, I wanted the album to have a little bit more wider kind of scope. And what I realized, I said, who might he have been listening to in the early days of radio? You know, who was playing on the earliest phonograph machines? And I found the great Emmett Miller classic Anytime, which I think is arguably one of the first hit records ever made.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, I found out that John Hurt was a fan of Jimmy Rogers, which I didn't know. And, of course, Jimmy Rogers is acknowledged as the godfather of country music. So I wanted to include this incredibly interesting and amazing period of time when American popular music was at its infancy.
Did the lyrics lead you or the music? How do you go about the writing in some of this?
Well, I wrote two original songs because as a songwriter, I felt I also wanted to give, you know, put part of myself into this.
Right.
I didn't want to make this album just a museum piece, so to speak. But it was also the way the band approached these older songs because they approached them with they honored the authenticity of the old song, but they brought themselves and a modern sensibility to the playing as well. So I think that's what the magic is on this record.
Oh, congratulations. You got a lot to be proud of with the book that is such an incredible read. I really enjoyed it as fans of John Oates will with the Change of Season we talked about last year in the album, the song in Arkansas this week. John Oates, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, all the best. Thanks for the time.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills, one of our favorite guests, Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Checks in every week on some different events and restaurants and beer and wine and all. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Good, buddy. A couple things to get to this week.
Let's first start with Art and Ale, a very popular event at the Akron Art Museum coming up, right?
Yeah, I love this one. This is one of my favorites of the year, a really neat beer fest. As we've talked before, Beer Fest often can take on, they try to take on their own little unique spin on offering beers for people. This will draw a few hundred people. It will sell out. It's the 11th annual. I love it because it's in the setting is in the atrium of the Akron Art Museum. The proceeds go back to the museum. It's also a voting contest. You can vote on your favorite beer. It will be heavily Ohio focused, and there will be a lot of the brewers there, which is something else that I really like and you don't see very often. There'll also be a separate competition. I will be one of three judges, and we'll be evaluating some of the beers. Don't know if it's going to be blind or not, but I really enjoy this. It's a lot of fun. Mark Masuoko at the museum does a great job down there. And this is a good one. It's $50, and it's a nice little midwinter break for people to get out and try a few beers.
Friday, March 9th, the 11th annual event starts at 6 o'clock. Again, it's the Art and Ale at the Akron Art Museum. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. With me, got a posted a story, too, about the Hoppin' Frog Brewery this week. What's going on?
Hoppin' Frog really is amazing. I often forget this, but they are really distributed not just in Akron and not just in a lot of states. They're in 23 states, but they're also in 38 countries. And they have won for every year. They seem to do well in ratebeer.com's ratings website of best beers in the world. And this is interesting because, you know, these consumer-driven beer drinker websites are very important. These aren't necessarily brewers. These are not necessarily writers. These are just beer drinkers. And the site does a very good job. I talked to their founder a few years ago. They control the votes by IP addresses. So it's not like you can sit there and vote, you know, 200 times a day if you have nothing better to do.
Right, right.
But Hoppin' Frog won four awards in this year. They're named one of the world's best 100 breweries, best tap room, best beer in Ohio for its barrel-aged Taurus. That's a triple imperial stout. Mm. And they were named best brewer in Ohio. Fred Karm, doing a great job, loves making those big beers, very, very happy about this award. He loves ratebeer.com, and they love him. And he's going to throw a party on February 24th down at the Tap Room on East Waterloo Road. So congratulations to the folks at Hoppin' Frog.
Excellent. Restaurant, beer business, Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com with us. Okay, take me to Cleveland Heights now. Interesting story. What used to be the Lemongrass Restaurant, if you live or work in that area, you know they've been doing work, and it'll eventually become the Boss Dog Brewing Company, right?
I like how you said that, Bill. You know that they've been doing work. That was Construction Central for quite some time. And you know that I try to get to every brewery soon after they open or even before they open, try to do a story and a gallery and a video as soon as I can. But it's very difficult to keep up with them. This one started in November. I had a really fun time a couple weeks ago. Josh and Jason Sweet, a couple of brothers born in Cleveland Heights, decided to start a brewery, and they end up back in the city they were born in. And you're right, this is a busy area. They're very close to the Cedar and Lee intersection. 140-seat place, very spacious tap room, and a restaurant. They've got 14 of their beers on tap right now. And as you said, it's in the former Lemongrass restaurant space. Beautiful, beautiful space. What I'm very interested in is how they'll do in the summer, which I think will be very well. They have a nice little patio set up. They really want to utilize that. There's a ton of foot traffic in that area. You've got a lot of different businesses, a lot of mom-and-pop places. You've got the parking behind them, the theater on the street. So it's really neat. And we're at the point now where we're not just seeing a city get its first brewery. We're seeing a city get its second. Remember, the Bottle House is just a few blocks to the north.
Sure.
So now Cleveland Heights has a second brewery. It's wonderful to see. Hat tip to the Sweet Brothers in Cleveland Heights for Boss Dog Brewing.
And, oh, by the way, is it correct on a nice day they've even literally embraced the dog? For there?
They love dogs. Jason has dogs. Their logo is one of his dogs. They have names of their beers after dachshunds that the brothers grew up with. So, yeah, they're dog lovers, and the patio will be very dog-friendly come warm weather.
That's great. Boss Dog Brewing Company, congratulations. Good luck to them there at 2179 Lee Row. Yeah, Cleveland Heights, what a happening place now, as always, but a different look now with a couple of these breweries around. Mark Bona, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Good follow on Twitter, mbona30, and watch what he posts there, and, of course, see him in the paper. Mark, thanks, pal.
Thank you.
What's going on? And we talk about what's going on, too. News Radio WTAM 1100, one of those guys that knows, regular guest, our buddy Joe Roman, heads up the Greater Cleveland Partnership. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
How are you?
See you, pal. Good. Well, we're all good after a Cavs win, right?
That's right. I just told your partner here I was driving by the Grayton Road Tavern just as you guys were talking about it, and there was a film crew in front of the Grayton Road Tavern, I think talking about the fact that nobody had won last night.
We're sending the wrong guy over to buy our tickets.
Yeah, we must be.
I got Tom Morse getting tickets for us, so I'm going to send somebody else, I think.
You know, that's all over town now, but in most places it's $5,000 prizes, $3,000 prizes.
That's been amazing.
It has been
and
amazing.
And that one in Garrettsville a couple years ago, too, was huge.
Did it go that high?
Yeah. Not that high, but still good. Okay, let's talk about some stuff. Let's get downtown. I was down for a lunch on Monday, matter of fact, and saw a buddy of mine at the Indians and got around the queue to kind of get a feel for what they're doing, and we're physically starting to see this transformation.
Yeah,
right?
It is going to be. You know, we got the best of both worlds on that one, I really think. I know it went through a lot of contention, and it did get the right kind of hearings it deserved. But at the end of the day, we got a pretty strong lease expansion from the team, meaning they're committed to staying here longer for the cost of what will, at the end of the day, look like a pretty new arena at the fraction of what it would take to build a new arena. People are spending $800, $900, $1 billion now on new arenas for 140, which is a lot of money. I'm not trying to,
sure,
to belittle that.
Sure.
But for that amount of money and the extra lease that we'll get, it's really an amazing deal, and it'll allow the queue to be much more than it's been because the industry has really advanced.
And I don't want to go too fast over the commitment Gilbert and the Cavs made, too, because that also takes that off the table,
right,
for conversations from other cities or whatever noise is around.
That's right.
Right.
Maybe,
I mean,
maybe even is a transition through a new ownership.
Exactly.
And if that happens, the new ownership will be committed for that same period of time to Cleveland. And it really will. People, you know, all these. I mean, remember the Intermelt Bridge? It took 6.5 years to fix that. Did we ever think it would get done? But now you see the benefits of it. The same thing will be at the queue.
Great going across it. Okay. Joe Roman, Greater Cleveland Partnership is in. Okay, let's go to Columbus on a couple of things. Redistricting, a story that I guess if it wouldn't have passed, it would have been a bigger story, right? Explain this to me.
Well, I think all around the country, the issue of redistricting has become a bigger and bigger an issue. And I think the legislature knew that something was coming, and therefore, you know, got their acts together, give them a lot of credit for that, for coming up with a proposal that was a combination of the things that they believe were important and also that they were hearing from the public pressure on how to make that redistricting more fair so that we didn't cut up counties the way we've been cutting up counties. Cuyahoga County, for instance, or Cleveland at least, the city will now be in one district, which could be a good thing. So I think they realized that something was coming.
Right.
And they wanted to be a part of it, and that's how they got together.
The old saying, elections have consequences.
That's absolutely
the party wins. The party wins,
that's,
and no matter at what level of government. But in fairness to everybody, this was getting out of hand.
This was getting out of hand.
Okay.
This was getting out of hand, and they stepped in, again, under that political, the right kind of political pressure with the public involved and fixed it.
All right. Jobs, how are we doing? Creation last year.
Numbers? You know, last year was tremendous. You know, we far exceeded in Northeastern Ohio the goals that we all set collectively along with our partners, and we did a great job with some of the big ones. Obviously, the Progressives and the Amazons were huge. I mean, 2,000-person chunks of new jobs, good jobs with benefits and so forth that people will be able to aspire to. So it's in the pipeline. The point, like we've always talked about, is to maintain that momentum.
Joe Roman, Greater Cleveland Partnership, for a couple more minutes, talking about some things about our region, the town. Opportunity Zone, talk about that some.
Yeah, this is a new one that came out of last year's, you know, there are always, don't let a crisis go to waste, right?
Right?
There are always new things, always new things that come about. So you and I talked many times about preserving the New Markets Tax Credit and the historic tax credits and how important those
federal
were.
Federal level, exactly.
At the same time, others in Congress felt creating a new tool called Opportunity Zones, which would be a new investment benefit in disadvantaged census tracts, could also be a help. So our governor, as will all governors in the country, they will be able to outline and identify 25% of those disadvantaged census tracts around the state for additional potential investment credits.
Okay.
And so we're working with them. Others are working with them. So, again, it'll be an additional tool for our region, and not just for the city. So this could work in East Cleveland. This could work in other areas.
Okay, let me get to another area and get you out of here, though. But Irishtown, Ben, we've heard a lot, seen a lot, restoration programs.
Yeah, as we've talked, that's our number one state capital budget project, as it is for many, city, county, and others. It's so critical because ArcelorMittal is 5 miles up that river.
Yep.
And we cannot have the river cave in to any degree and still have the kind of ore boats supplying that steel plant, which is a huge asset for this region. And so, but here's the twofer. By maintaining Irishtown Bend, we can also build a new park on top of it that all the neighborhoods of Cleveland, especially in the near west side, can enjoy.
I'm looking forward. Next week, I'm going to do a tour of the Foundry Building.
Great.
And the Rowing Center.
Great.
That I have seen
been there
heard
many times. So have many, you been there?
Not yet.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's what I'm looking forward to, because there's such a story there. But again, it's that area. We talk about that river. You never want to take it for granted, too, right?
No doubt. The family that's involved with MCPC has really led that effort, and you'll enjoy it.
I look forward to it. So a little shout out. Tim McKenna is going to take me around that next week. Forward to it, and hopefully be able to help tell that story.
Good to all see right. you, and thanks for my black book back, by the way.
And how about this? The truck arrived out in Arizona.
There you go.
So it's getting ready. Indian spring training. Joe Roman, Greater Cleveland Partnership. Good to see you, pal. Yeah. He was here last month. He left his black book. Snyder was salivating. Wanted to go. You talk about numbers and names in Joe Roman's book. Okay? All right. See you, pal.
Good to see you.
All right. Complete Cavaliers coverage on News Radio WTAM 1100. John Michael joins us this morning. Cavs with a exciting overtime win last night. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Levin Furniture, the preferred home furniture and mattress supplier to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
Just what we needed last night, right?
Well, no kidding. And on the tail end of a back-to-back after a disappointing second half in Orlando, just when this team, you know, really, really needed a W, it was one of the vintage classic performances by LeBron James, who on the tail end of a back-to-back plays 48 minutes and 19 seconds in an overtime victory, 140-138, hits the game winner. 1 second remaining, the Cavaliers had to go the length of the floor. Jeff Green threw one ahead, baseball style. LeBron caught it at the foul line, a turnaround over Jimmy Butler for the win. LeBron finishes with 37 points, 15 assists, and 10 rebounds, and maybe even more importantly, a huge defensive play at the other end in the previous possession. Came over, made a block on a Jimmy Butler shot to set up the play. So just an incredible performance precisely when the Cavaliers needed it. And, I mean, we all know that this team's been struggling. He steps up, he takes the leadership role, and he plays all of those minutes, has a great game defensively on top of the triple-double, and what a wild high-scoring shootout at the Q last night. Big win right when the Cavs needed it.
Mike Snyder, some irony. We've been talking a lot about defense, and yet we're talking about it this morning, right, with the Cavs?
Yeah. You know, John, they allowed 138 points, but there was some effort, some key plays in there with Chetty Osmond helping out. At least last night, when things got a little shaky, the Cavs just never gave in, which we've seen them do quite often over the last 5 or 6 weeks.
The effort was great, and you're right, Mike. Defensively, I don't think the numbers really tell the story. The Cavaliers managed to shoot their best field goal percentage and give up their highest field goal percentage in the same game just last night. All told, 40 threes in the ball game. I'm glad you brought up Chetty Osmond, Mike, because this kid has stayed ready. You know, basically the only young guy on the team, with the exception of Ante Zizic, who's been up and down with Canton, but Osmond stayed ready, and every time he gets some extended minutes, he looks good. You know, he's a fan favorite at the Q. He always draws applause. A hustle type kid, and he was great. I mean, he had his best game as a pro. He played 21 and a half minutes, 9 points, but you know, the numbers don't tell the story. There were stretches where he was defending defending Jimmy Butler, particularly in overtime. And Tyronn Lue late in the game was making defense for offense switches. He was throwing Osmond in there for Isaiah Thomas when the Cavaliers needed to stop when it was an obvious defensive possession that was to follow. So I thought it was a great performance by Jetty. He was in there likely because Dwayne Wade was out of the lineup, but let's see now if some changes are made and Jetty gets himself a more constant role in there for the Cavaliers. He certainly earned it last night, and like I said, Mike, a lot of people contributed, and you're right, even though defensively those numbers didn't look very good, we saw key moments where the Cavaliers got stops, and at this point, you know, baby steps, you get the victory, you get some good defensive plays, and now a tricky three-game road trip coming straight ahead, heading into the All-Star break. We start with Atlanta tomorrow, and then a matinee in Boston, and we finish with Oklahoma City. So not easy teams as we finish this thing up, but, man, so nice to get a victory at home in the final game at home for the All-Star break.
Well, time will tell if they build on it. We'll find out, as you point out, with this tricky stretch. And also, John, after 3 o'clock today, there'll be no more speculation as we wait to see if the Cavs make a move. But certainly, not only for the Cavs, but around the league, this is that day where teams are kind of, players, I think, are looking over their shoulders a little bit.
Well, I think so, and you'd have to assume that Kobe Altman and the Cavaliers have their feelers out right now trying to improve this team, trying to get these guys right at a critical time. You know, we've been waiting for this team to hit its groove, and we've been saying, well, you know, let's wait. It's going to take weeks. It's going to take months because new guys are coming in and out of the lineup, but, you know, we're in February now, so it obviously is crunch time, and today is crunch day, you know, to see if there are any potential deals out there to try to help this team. So you're right, Michael. We're going to find out in merely hours if this team looks the same as we head to Atlanta for tomorrow night's game.
John, Michael, great call last night. We're going to play it one more time. John, thanks, pal. Have a good day.
All right, guys. Thank you. Take
care.
Here it
is.
It'll be Green to baseball it in. Thomas and Smith are in the backcourt down to our right. So is Green, where he'll inbound the basketball. James and Korver up top. As Green throws it ahead to LeBron, makes the catch. He spins. He fires. Oh, he nailed it. LeBron James from the foul line. A turnaround jumper to win it in dramatic fashion off the long Jeff Green inbound pass. As LeBron has won it for the Cavaliers. Cavs 140, Timberwolves 138. What a night for LeBron James.